get a message from the Word of God. All right, turn if you would to Revelation chapter 20. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 responsively. I'll read the first verse. We'll all read the second verse together and so on. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that put in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Let's read verse 8 as well. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of them is as the sand of the sea. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for this blessed thing that is going to take place, this millennial time, and I'm looking forward to the golden age coming here on this earth. Help us, dear God, to gain an understanding of this passage. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, having looked at the rapture, the Antichrist, the tribulation judgments, the battle of Armageddon, today we're going to take a look at the millennial kingdom. Now, the word millennial is a Latin term that simply means 1,000 years. This 1,000-year period is mentioned several times in our text verse that we read moments ago. Now, there are three main thoughts that exist when it comes to the millennial reign of Jesus on earth. Some are post-millennialists. Now, they believe that through the preaching of the gospel, that the world will embrace Christianity and become a society of born-again believers. And once the world has been saved, Christ is going to return, and then he's going to reign as king over the redeemed. They believe that the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth is literal, but will not happen until the world is godly. This position has a major problem, for the Bible teaches us this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Then we read this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boaster, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So much for the world becoming a better place and being Christian at that. This world has been on a downward trend for, like 2 Timothy 3:13 tells us, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Then we see some are amillennialists. Now the prefix ab means no. So they don't believe that there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ upon this earth. They say the word thousand is symbolic. and that the glorious description of Christ's kingdom on earth should be explained as being spiritual and not literal. Yet there is no reason at Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, Isaiah chapter 11, and other passages concerning the millennial should not be taken literally. Then some, that includes our church, are premillennialists. Now they believe the Bible teaches that Jesus returns to the earth with his saints at the end of the tribulation, where he is victorious at the battle of Armageddon and then sets up his earthly and literal kingdom, which will last for 1,000 years, where he will reign as king over the entire earth. For centuries, people have dreamed and they have sought for utopia on earth and wondered if there will ever be a time when there is worldwide peace. Some are quite pessimistic, and they say it is impossible for peace to cover the globe, for we will always have wars. Then still others have searched the scriptures, and they discern two things. First, the impossibility of a warless world by the efforts of man. And secondly, the certainty of a warless world when Christ sets up his kingdom here on earth. Yes, the Bible is clear. There will be universal peace. There'll be universal prosperity when the Prince of Peace sits on the throne of David. By the time we come to the millennial reign of Christ, Jesus has defeated the armies of the nations that are gathered against him. He's defeated the Antichrist, the false prophet. Both of them are cast alive into the lake of fire. The devil is bound and thrown into the bottomless pit, and the heavenly angels have gathered everything out of his kingdoms that offends, and them which do iniquity. These things will make his kingdom a very desirable place to live. While there are those who deny the millennial kingdom will ever take place, it is spoken quite often in Scripture, and since it is mentioned so many times, God wants us to know the reality of it and the glory that is ascribed to it. Jesus taught us to pray for this coming kingdom. Now, why would he ask us to pray for something that does not exist? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, he told his disciples to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy what? Kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now in this model prayer, we are taught to address the Heavenly Father. Then our first request is to be thy kingdom come. And when the millennial kingdom begins, this prayer will be answered. The kingdom here must be the millennial kingdom, because it will not be until then that the will of God will fill the earth. The millennial kingdom will fulfill God's covenant with Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, you read of God making promises to Abraham and to his seed. Now these promises involve two things: a people forever and a land forever. Now, the millennial kingdom will be the ultimate fulfillment of those promises. Now, God is not finished with Israel, despite what some believe. And it'll be during Christ's reign on earth that Israel will possess the land promised to Abraham, and they will be restored spiritually. They will enjoy peace that has eluded them since all of history, it seems. Now in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 through 5, it says this: "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." So there's going to be some topography changes, isn't there? "And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Of house O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For ages, Israel and the Jewish people have been maligned and have been mistreated. Jerusalem itself has been a sore spot for many nations. But God has not forgotten what he promised to his people. And the day is coming when he will fulfill it in grand fashion. And in Ezekiel 48:35, we see that Jerusalem will be the crown jewel of Christ's kingdom, and it'll be called Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. The millennial kingdom will fulfill the covenant that God made with David. God made a promise to David that he would establish the throne of David forever. This is what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 through 16. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, he's speaking to David, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I'll establish the throne of his kingdom, what? Forever. I'll be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I'll chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now this promise will be fulfilled through David's offspring. Now one of the reasons for the genealogy in Matthew's gospel and its importance is that it traces its lineage back to Jesus through Mary, back to David, and ultimately to Abraham. Matthew 1:1 says this, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now when the angel appeared to Mary to announce she was God's chosen vessel to bring forth Jesus Christ, he says this in Luke 1:32 and 33 to this young virgin. He shall be great and shall be called the son of the highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now the millennial kingdom will fulfill God's promise to David, to Mary, and to Abraham, as well as the people of Israel. Our Lord himself, in the days of his flesh, made this promise of his kingdom to his disciples. And it is found in Luke chapter 22, verse 29 and 30. There we read, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This kingdom will be a worldwide display of Christ's glory. During this time, people with mortal bodies will inhabit the earth. Those who have been saved during the tribulation period and have survived will enter into Christ's kingdom here on earth in bodies of flesh. These people will have children during that 1,000-year period and populate this earth. And that population will grow greatly and they will live very long lives. Isaiah 65, verse 20 speaks of this. For there it is written, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Now those born during this time will still have a sin nature. They will still need to be saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we do today. The difference will be that Christ will be living here on this earth, and he'll be ruling over the entire earth in his righteousness. The fact that Satan will lead a revolt at the end of the millennial kingdom, and there's a number of people he involves in that, you know, is a sure sign that indicates that many a heart has not been changed by the grace of God, and they remain lost, undone, and dead in their trespasses and sin. You talk about the depravity of the human heart. It is shown right there. We see this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 and 9. It said, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And the beloved city, which would be what? Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Even under the perfect and ideal reign of Christ, the natural man remains at enmity with God. During the millennial reign of Christ, Satan will be chained, and he is cast into the bottomless pit. Now imagine, if you will, that here on earth, there will be a period of 1,000 years, and we will be devil-free. Before conditions can improve on this world, in this world, the devil needs to be stopped. And as long as he is the god of this world, sin will run rampant. Won't it be great when he's no longer able to walk to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom he may devour? When he no longer accuses the brethren, when he no longer tempts him to do wrong, when he no longer hurls his fiery darts their way, no more false gospels will be spread. No more corrupt Bibles will be used. His ministers will be done away with. His doctrines will no longer be heard, and his churches will no longer exist. The enemy of God and his people will be bound and banished for 1,000 years. In Christ's earthly kingdom, the nature of wild beasts will be changed. We read this in Isaiah 11, verse 6 through 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Since the Garden of Eden, the world has not known there a time when there will be no harm from wild beasts or serpents. In fact, when you read about the millennial, wild and ferocious beasts will be led about by a small child. Freedom from fear of what these animals are capable of will be a great blessing during that 1,000-year reign of Christ. In the millennial reign of Christ, war will be at an end. There'll be no more army recruitment. No more Air Force. No more fear of a nuclear weapon. It'll all be over. Micah 4, 3 and 4 tells us, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine, and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Though much about the living conditions during this period remains unknown, absolute peace will exist amongst the nations. Jesus Christ will reign supremely over the entire earth, and all people will be subservient to his rule and unified under his authority. Sin will be quickly and righteously judged by Jesus. There'll be no more United Nations that fail to live up to its name. No need for peace treaties or weapons of war. It'll be peace and prosperity to all. It truly will be a golden age, because the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. Isaiah 11:9 says, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14 repeats this very same promise. With the knowledge of the Lord covering the earth, that means all forms of false worship will cease. The word of God will be known. It'll be understood by all and rightly divided. There'll be a unity of belief about the Lord and His Word. All will be independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists. Those that are right, anyways. All believers will worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. This kingdom will see the curse placed upon this earth because of the sin of man being removed. Isaiah 35, 1 through 10 tells us this. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those a wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. During the kingdom age, the saints will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Do you not know that saints shall judge the world?" Then in Revelation 26, we are told, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When a believer in this life lives for the Savior, they live the greatest life that one could live. We then have the assurance, if we're living for Christ as we ought, the assurance of God's love and care. We have God's word to renew our minds and to obey. We have our source of faith contained in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He comforts us and He guides us. We have a church to attend, a place where we can fellowship with those of like faith and practice, a place to serve, a place to hear the preaching and teaching of the written voice of God. And we have all the promises of God, including a bright and glorious future. Those who allow Christ to be in large and in charge today of their life know what the abundant life is all about. He is to be allowed to rule in our life in the present, in our life today. But in His kingdom, we will rule and reign with Him. Yes, Jesus will return to the earth, and when He does, He will reign as King. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, we read this: "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." What a day that will be when He establishes throne in Jerusalem and He reigns as King over all the earth. You know, it's quite sad that in so many believers' lives that He's not allowed to rule today. You know, they're like those mentioned in Luke chapter 19, verse 14, of whom it is said about a certain nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself of a kingdom and to return. You know what they said? We will not have this man reign over us. That's sad. Yet many a believer says the same thing today because they are large and in charge. They live by their will and not by what Christ would have them do. It sure is strange that he and his kingdom will allow us to rule and reign with him, but we're not allowing him to rule and reign in our lives today. Let's decide this morning that until he comes, we will let him have his way with us, and we will submit to King Jesus. Then we'll have a foretaste of the joy he will bring to this earth when he reigns as king. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.